Many people today, a lot of people, not just many, a lot of people today rebel when they hear the word duty. They don't like to be told to do anything. They don't like to feel that they have to do anything. And when they're made to feel that they have to do something, well, then they rebel. And I've seen this from time to time in my own children. For example, when I would tell my children to do something, I would say, do this or do that. They would often tell me, well, after I do this, or after this happens. And after a while, I began to cop on. And I began to understand that this was their way of telling me that I don't have to do what you say, or I will do what you say whenever I feel like it. You see, they don't want to feel like they have to do anything because I said so. And so that's just their way of rebelling against this necessity for duty. And of course, if children don't learn better in their life, if they don't grow out of this, if the parents don't give them some solid instruction along this matter, then what will happen is when they grow up and when they get out of the home, they're going to find it very hard to hold down a job, because they don't want to feel like they have to do what their boss says. They don't want to feel like it's their duty to have to do what that person tells them to do. And so they're going to have a hard time in the workforce. But sadly, this rebellion against duty is not just something found in the secular world, but it's also found in the spiritual realm. There are a lot of people who do not want to feel like they have a duty to serve the Lord. They want to argue that their spiritual service should only be motivated by their love. And if it's duty, then it's not love. And therefore, they kind of say it can't be one or the other, or probably it can't be this if it's this. If it's duty, then it can't be love. And therefore, it must be love. And I think they've gotten things confused. And I think they got things a little bit turned around. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22, that if anyone does not love the Lord, if anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. This makes it very clear that loving God is not an option. Men and women must love God, and those who do not love the Lord are under the curse of God. So that needs to be established, first of all, that we're not arguing about the need of love. Love is essential, and one cannot please God without love. All service that one renders to the Lord must emanate from a heart that loves Him. And as it was read a few moments ago, Jesus argues and Jesus identifies loving God as the foremost of all commands. There is no commandment greater than this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your might. That's what the Lord says. That is the foremost of all commands. Sure, there's a second. Love your neighbor as yourself. But the foremost command is to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your might and all your strength. There is no commandment greater than this command to love the Lord. But as one studies through the Bible, they will begin to realize that service to the Lord, duty to the Lord, is often linked with our love for the Lord. In other words, these are not two different things. They're linked together. Duty is fulfilled as we love the Lord, and loving the Lord is fulfilled when we do our duty. Let me show you what I mean. Look if you will to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And in Deuteronomy 11 and verse 13, Moses is giving some various commands with regard to the Israelites' relationship to the Lord. And in Deuteronomy 11 verse 13, here's what the Lord said, or here's what 11:13. Here's what the Moses said. He says, "It shall come about if you listen obediently to my commandment, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, that He will give you the rain for your land." But notice here, it will come about if you listen obediently, he says, to my commandments, which I command you today. And what is that? To love the Lord your God and serve Him. You see, they go together, hand in glove. And notice here, this is a command that Moses gives. This is a command that the Lord gives. One time I heard a preacher say that you cannot give a command of the heart. Yes, you can. The Lord God commanded love. And this is something that we do from the heart. And it is a commandment of the Lord. And here Moses says that the commandment of the Lord is this, that you love the Lord and serve Him with all your heart. That's duty. Again, look at Deuteronomy 19 and verse 9. And listen to another similar statement. In Deuteronomy 19:9, it says, if you carefully observe this commandment which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to walk in His ways always. Notice, if you observe this commandment, and what is that commandment, Moses? To love the Lord your God and to walk in His ways always. Loving God and duty go together. One more in Deuteronomy 30, beginning of verse 15. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, Moses is summing up the message of Deuteronomy. And he says here, beginning in verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land which you are entering to possess it. Here, Moses says, I command you to love the Lord your God. And if I were put marks here, grammatical marks here, I put a colon. To love the Lord your God. And then what says after that is how one loves the Lord. How is that? It says to walk in His ways and to keep His commands. Loving the Lord is a command of the heart. But loving the Lord and walking in His ways goes together. You cannot separate them. It is a duty for us to love the Lord. It is something that we must do. But as we love the Lord, this loving the Lord expresses itself in doing what He commands, in doing what He asks us to do, and even commands us to do. This is what the Lord said. Turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. In 1 John 5 and verse 2, John says something about loving the Lord. And he says, by this we know, verse 2, that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Our love for God cannot be expressed in any other way than what John says here. This is, by this we know that we love, verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. The individual who says, I love the Lord, and does not do what the Lord says, is not telling the truth. He is not speaking what is right. He may feel he has a love for the Lord, but the Lord Himself says, He doesn't love me. This is the love for God, when we keep His commandments. That's what the Lord says through the apostles. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4, turn there if you will. Listen to what John says this in this verse. He says, the one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. It is John who calls this man a liar. The man who says, I know the Lord, or the man who says, I love the Lord, but does not do what the Lord says, is not speaking the truth. Loving God is a duty. It is something that we must do. We have no choice in this if we want to go to heaven. If we do not love the Lord, we are under a curse of God. But this loving the Lord is expressed in no other way than doing what the Lord has said. Turn, if you will, to John 14. And in verse 15, Jesus says some things about love that again brings this to the light that it involves doing what He says. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus speaks and Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In verse 23 and 24, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. This is your duty. This is my duty. To love the Lord your God with all your being, and whether or not you are doing this duty, it will be seen in how you live. Are you doing what the Lord commands you to do? Somebody says, you don't know if I love the Lord or not. Well, it's true, it's difficult to read the heart. I'm not God, and I cannot read the heart. But I do know this. When you live in rebellion against God, or when I live in rebellion against God, it certainly means something. And I believe that the Lord has revealed these things to us so that we might know if we love the Lord. It is not a feeling. It is not an emotion. It is a doing. It is involved in doing these things. Yes, it emanates from the heart. It emanates from our being. We will do this. But it will always be seen by our willingness to submit to His will and to His ways. And this is our duty. This is our duty. So loving God and doing our duty go hand in glove. But let's go on and look at something else. Look, turn if you will to Luke chapter 17. And beginning of verse 7, listen to this story that the Lord tells. Luke 17, beginning of verse 7. The Scripture says, "But which of you, having a slave, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down to eat'? But will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourselves, and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink?' He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have only done what we ought to have done.'" In submitting to the gospel of Christ for our salvation, a person becomes a servant of God. And again, the concept behind serving is that of duty. When we become a Christian, we become God's servant, a servant of Christ. And as His servant, we have a duty to perform for Him. We have things to do for Him. And what Jesus here teaches us is that we need to be a willing servant, and we need to strive to do all the things that He commands us to do. Paul has something to say about servitude in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. He says, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are the slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness?" We are going to be somebody's servants. It will either be the servants of righteousness, God, or the servants of sin and death, the devil. But we will be somebody's servants. That's what Paul is teaching here. And rather than allowing sin to reign over us, the Christian places himself or herself under the jurisdiction of Christ, the Savior, as His bondservant. We need to grasp this very simple truth, that in Christ there is freedom from sin's domain, but this does not give us the freedom to live like we want to live. We are servants of another. And we serve Christ from the heart. We serve Christ out of love, but we serve Him nevertheless. And in the end, after we've done everything that we are commanded to do, which none of us will be able to say, all that we could say is that we've done our duty. We've done what we were supposed to have done. You see, we do have an obligation to the Lord. We are obliged to do His will. And it is a duty. And it's a duty because we are His slaves. We are His servants. Living in a free land like ours, we hate to think of ourselves as being servants, as being someone's slaves. But this is how the Scriptures depict us as Christians. And we have a duty to perform out of love for God, out of love for Christ. And if we do not perform our duties with regard to that service, then we do not love the Lord. We are not loving Him. And those who do not love the Lord, Paul says, are accursed of God. Some things we need to think about. As fundamental as this principle is, It's a very sad thing to so often observe Christians, members of the body of Christ, who make the claim to blessings of Christ, but are very indifferent and lukewarm to fulfill their duty in serving Christ. They believe very often that their service pretty much involves only coming to the church, coming to the meeting house, coming to the services, and they feel this is all that I need to do. Now, I realize that we live busily schedules and we do many things, but let me say our duty is more than just coming here. Yes, we must come here. We must worship God. We must serve Him here. But our life must be lived outside of here as well. And we need to be lights in the world. And we need not to be indifferent about our service to Christ in our workplace, or in our homes, or in our schools, or in our neighborhoods, or at the sports field and the games we go to. People should see that we are Christians in every situation of our life. And yet so many times we are indifferent about these other things. And we are very lukewarm about our Christianity outside of this place. And that's sad. We need to learn that we serve Christ 24/7. He has taught us and He has commanded us many things to do. We are to love. We are to have faith. We are to be loyal to Him. We are to worship. We are to study. We are to do many things. Are we lukewarm toward these obligations? Do we feel, I don't have to do those things because I do this? No. We must do all the things that He asks of us. And we must strive. And when we fail, we must ask for forgiveness. And the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, will certainly cleanse us from all of our sins. Dear brothers and sisters, it is our duty to love the Lord. It is our duty, out of love, to serve Him. And we cannot be distracted from this. We cannot be discouraged from this. When a brother or sister rebels against this duty to serve the Lord and say, I just love the Lord, and I don't really want to do what He says, and not many people really say that, but they act that way, then we need to gently admonish them along that you cannot love the Lord without doing what He says, without submitting to His authority, without living your life under His banner every day of your life. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, upon what do you base your hope of eternal salvation, if you claim such? Well, on what do you base your hope while failing to observe and fulfill the duties as a servant of Christ? If you fail to serve, how will you be able to hear the Lord say on the final day, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? And you will not be able to hear those words. Let us be faithful servants. Let us be loyal to Him. Let us show our love through our service to Christ. And when we do this, we will be profitable servants. Again, listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 17:10. The Lord says, "When you shall have done all these things that are commanded of you, you will say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We've only done that which is our duty to do.'" And the humble servant of Christ must realize his or her own weaknesses. We must recognize our insufficiencies, our failures, and there must be a conscious desire on our part and will to fulfill our duty to Christ. But at the same time, we must realize that in the end, we are just unprofitable servants. Because again, if we've done everything, then we can only say, "I've just done what I'm supposed to do." But not a one of us can say that. Because all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As Roger brought out in these last weeks, or last few days in his lessons, we need the grace of God. And it's through the grace of God that each of us will be saved, if we are saved at all. But let us not frustrate the grace of God as He reaches out toward us. Let us submit to that grace. Let us submit to that teaching. Let us strive to be servants. Let us do our duty as Christians, whatever that duty is. And it involves much more than just coming here. But let me just say, if you don't come to services and you don't assemble with the saints, then you are failing in your duty in that regard too. But it involves much more than this. Let us leave this place being loyal servants, realizing that we have duties to perform as Christians, And let us not shirk those duties, but let us fulfill those duties in proudly to fulfill them, knowing that our service to the Lord in this way manifests our great love for Him. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Are you serving Him? And that's how you know if you love the Lord or not. How do you love the Lord? Is it seen by others? Can you see it in yourself? Remember, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and your might. And those who do not love the Lord are accursed. But Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I say. Are you doing what the Lord says? If you're here today and you're a disciple of Christ who has been failing to live their life as they ought to be living it, if you are a disciple of Christ who has not been fulfilling his or her duty to the Lord at home or at work or at play, at school, or whatever, then make it right with the Lord while you can. Repent to Him. Repent to the Lord. And ask for forgiveness. And we have the promise that His blood will cleanse us from all of our sins. But if you're here today and you've never obeyed the Christ, if you've never submitted to His gospel, then you are not a servant of the Lord yet. You are still in servitude to sin. You are still in servitude and bondage to the devil. And the only way to be released from this bondage is to obey the gospel from the heart. And through that obedience that is from faith, you will be free from your sins. And how is that obedience performed? Well, if you believe in the Lord, Christ, Jesus as the Christ, if you turn from your sins in repentance and are baptized in water, then you will be raised in newness of life to walk in freedom, to walk as servants of Christ, no longer slaves to sin, but a slave to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're subject to the invitation of the gospel, why not respond as we stand and sing the last song?